be seated, church, and take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, and it's church Bible. If you're using the church Bible, it's page number 1239. And hey, I got a question for you guys, and this is really for all of you that were here last Sunday. And I want to ask you a question to see if you were listening last week, okay? Is God going to eliminate all trials and suffering from entering our lives, yes or no? He's not going to eliminate it all. And he's not going to let us live in a bubble and insulate us from all the problems of planet Earth. Okay? Your suffering, your problems. Number one, a lot of times it shows unbelievers, hey, you're human. And it shows them how a Christian handles those things. It's a great platform for you to have a testimony for Christ. And those problems really have an intrinsic way of being able to do some marvelous things in our life. And God knows all that. So God's not going to let us live in a bubble with no problems and no heartaches and no tears and no suffering and no trials, no loss. God's goal for our life, what is God's goal? Question, is God, and this is again a review, is God's goal for your life to make sure that you are comfortable, healthy, and wealthy every day of your life? Is that God's goal? No. God has a much deeper goal. God's goal for your life is God wants to see the spiritual character of Jesus Christ developed in you in order to help advance the gospel. Because every time a Christian goes out of this building and lives like a believer, lives like a Christ follower, every time you go out and you live like who you are in Christ, that promotes and makes the gospel of Jesus look beautiful. And so God's desire is to, and this is something I hit on last week, I had you repeat it three times, and I even had you write it down, so please tell me you remember this. God's desire is to, and we said two words, grow and change us. Good job. Woo! I'm getting excited up here. God wants to grow and, say it one more time, God wants to grow and change us. But the fact is, and I'm not saying I like this any more than you do, but the fact is growth, in really any area of life, growth seldom comes without pain. You ever heard the expression growing pains? When I grew up, everything was growing pain. Dad, I got a pain in my leg. My legs are really hurting. What do you think's wrong with me? My dad's like, it's just growing pain, son. Dad, my stomach is really hurting. I just feel like there's something in my stomach. There's something wrong with me. That's just growing pain, son. Dad, my friend just hit me in the head with a baseball bat and I'm bleeding. That's just growing pain, son. And that's an expression, you know, that even the world uses all the time. You know, rookie quarterback throws three interceptions and the announcer's like, well, he's a rookie and he's going through some growing pains this first season. You know, it's an expression that's used a lot. And it's because growth seldom comes without pain. Suffering and pain and trials and problems can actually be very beneficial in helping us develop our faith muscles that then they shape our spiritual character. And so God's not like, you know, the Wizard of Oz. Remember that movie? And he's behind the curtain and he's pushing buttons and pulling levers. Remember the wizard, you know? And sometimes we get this idea that God's kind of like the Wizard of Oz and he's up in heaven and he's pushing buttons and pulling levers and he's sending problems into our lives. And that's simply not the case. God doesn't have to send problems into your life. He knows that they're going to come very naturally by virtue of the fact that we all live on a sin-cursed planet with a bunch of imperfect people, and it's an imperfect world we live in right now, and Christ one day is going to return, but until then, it's called the sufferings of this present time. So God doesn't have to send problems. He knows they're going to very naturally come into our life. Sometimes they come because of bad choices, let's be honest, that we make. Sometimes it's bad choices other people make. Sometimes it's satanic warfare. Satan, man, can get people in bondage. Other times, it's just, you know, part of being on an earth. It's not perfection, you know? And so God isn't sending problems, but on the other hand, he's not going to wave a magic wand and keep problems all away from you either. He didn't even do that with his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Did Jesus go through suffering? Yes or no? Absolutely. Not just the cross. If you remember correctly, Jesus went through a lot of hurt. Jesus had his own brothers turn on him. Jesus was just hounded and persecuted and ridiculed and mocked and jeered and just really just made fun of by the Pharisees. I mean, they just hounded him. You know, Jesus Christ went through great physical torture leading up to the cross, even before the cross. Jesus went through emotional pain. Remember when he wept at the tomb of Lazarus? So Jesus Christ, God didn't wave a magic wand and even alleviate suffering from the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And we can expect no different. If problems weren't eliminated from the life of Christ, we can't expect any different. In fact, there's a passage at the top of your handout. I want you to look at it with me. Look at the top of your handout. And these passages have a way of teaching us, helping us to keep our heads screwed on straight when problems come into our life. When problems and trials come into your life, there's a potential for you to implode, okay? For trials to destroy you. For you to just kind of implode internally and just kind of go to pieces and turn on God and get bitter and get mad and get angry and become this bitter person. You know, there's that possibility for that to happen. But it's passages like this that help stabilize us, settle us, and just kind of help us to keep our head screwed on straight when we're going through problems and trials and heartaches and we feel like our heart's been ripped out, you know. And look at it with me. Here it is. 1 Peter 2. He says, "For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults that you shall take it patiently?" He's like, you know, what glory is it if you have to suffer but it's really because of your own bad choices, you know, and you take it patiently? What glory is there in that? But then look what he says. "But if when you do well," I mean, you're doing the right thing. You're following God's ways. And look what he says, "and you suffer for it." He says, you take it patiently. "This is acceptable with God. For even hereto were you called, because Christ also," what does that say? "Christ also" what? "Suffered for us." Now, what did he leave us? He left us a what? His suffering left us an example that we should what? Let's all say the last three words, that we should what? Follow his steps. It's talking about following his steps in suffering. That's the context. I want you to get a statement in your handout. It's a great statement. It says, "Christ-like character is developed through Christ-like suffering." There's another one of those great passages. I have it in your handout. Look at it with me. Hebrews 5, 8, 9. It says, "Though he," Jesus, "were a son," he was a son of God, "yet learned he obedience by the things which he," say it with me, "suffered. And being made perfect," that's talking about that spiritual character that God wants to develop in us. It says, "being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him." Did Jesus ever sin? Yes or no? No. But the Bible teaches that the spiritual character of Christ was fully matured through the trials that he endured, the suffering. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Some of you have never read that. You never saw that. And some of you right now, it's kind of blowing your mind. It's like, wow, Jesus learned obedience. I didn't come up with that. I didn't invent that. That's the Bible. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. His character was matured through the trials that he endured. That's a marvelous truth to grab a hold of, guys. Every time that Jesus suffered affliction, persecution, trials, mockery, people turning on him, You know, Thomas doubted him. Peter cursed and denied him. Judas Iscariot betrayed him. And on we could go. But every single time he went through these things, of course, Jesus passed the test. And then his strength to do righteousness increased all the more. He learned obedience. And the Father used Satan's attacks as a tool to teach him this. Man, I hope you're getting this. This is amazing. We are the same way, with the exception, of course, that, you know, Jesus never sinned, and we got a history of sinning, and we desperately need to grow and change. I mean, a lot more than Christ did. So if suffering taught him obedience, how much more can I expect that, you know, I'm going to encounter suffering, I'm going to go through some painful stuff, but hopefully God can use that to teach me these things. The bottom line is this. In your handout, it says that God uses problems in our life to overcome problems in our character. Man, that's a great statement. That's one that you should put that on your mirror, your dashboard, your refrigerator, or get a Sharpie marker and write that on your forehead. Don't really do that, all right? But that's a good statement. God uses problems in our life to overcome problems in our character. God will take problems and use them in our life. How many of you are like me? You got some rough edges that you really need God to work on in your life. Yeah. Anybody in here got any annoying characteristics about yourself? Maybe God needs to work on? Yeah, we all do, right? And you know, God will use problems and suffering and pain and heartache to develop that character in you. And you know how he does that? Let me tell you how he does it. In your handout, it says that God uses sufferings to drive us to his word. Because that's where real growth's going to come from, is the word of God. But you know what happens? A lot of times, here's what we do. God doesn't send problems into your life, but he will use them. Okay, I'll give you an example. Let me give you an illustration. Have you ever gotten sick or had a medical issue, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, heart problems, whatever? But have you ever had a health issue and you knew deep down it was because you were neglecting things that you knew you should have been doing health-wise? When we have medical issues and health issues, all of a sudden now that problem causes us to do things that we knew we should have been doing all along. Eating right, exercising, proper rest, whatever it is. When we get sick or we have a health issue, it kind of jump starts us to start doing the right thing. Doctor comes in and says, your blood work, it stinks, man, it's terrible. You know, you're going to have a heart attack if you don't change. And all of a sudden, that jump starts us to start making some adjustments that we really knew we should have made all along. How many of you agree with this? As human beings, we tend to let things slide. Yes or no? We tend to let things slide. You know, especially things where we don't see immediate gratification. We like to feel good now. And so if things don't bring immediate gratification, we can kind of tend to let things slip. You know what I mean? Anybody in here identify with that? Anybody in here with me? Are you awake? If I got a hot fudge sundae and there's hot fudge dripping off of it and there's whipped cream on top and there's Reese's pieces all throughout it and Reese's chunks of Reese's peanut butter cup all through it, there is immediate gratification to that. Instant gratification, all right? But if I push it away, because I know I just got a bad report on my blood, and somebody offers it to me and I push it away, there's no immediate gratification in that. That stinks, amen? It's like that just in the immediate moment, that really stinks. But when I push it away, while I don't get immediate gratification, well, maybe a month later when I get my blood work, that's when I get gratified, because blood work comes back great. See what I'm saying? It's just an illustration. Just to show you that we can let things slide spiritually, too. Like, you know what? We're not liking the Bible anymore. We're not reading the Bible. We come home from church, we set our Bible down, we don't open it again. You know, or we're not praying like we used to. We let it slide. Or we're not going to church like we once did. We looked forward to going to church, couldn't wait to go to church. You know, it's like, man, I can't wait for Sunday to come so I can go to church again. Then all of a sudden, we let things slide. And before you know it, man, we're lucky to make it once a month. We're human. We tend to let things slide that doesn't bring immediate gratification. So that happens spiritually. So then all of a sudden now we're going through these problems, going through these troubles, going through heartache, going through problems, and Satan's attacking our lives or our family or our marriage or our children, and there's this suffering that comes into our lives. Do you know what that suffering has the power to do? It's got the power to remind us of how much we need God and how much we need His Word. That suffering can remind us of how much we need God, how much we need His Word. Why do school teachers give exams? I always thought it was just to be mean. But it's to drive you to your study books so that you can learn whatever it is the teacher wants you to learn. When we go through times of testing in our lives, that should drive us to our study book so that we can learn the lessons that we need to learn. I got an amen. I want us to look into 2 Timothy 3. Will you look at that with me? And just to kind of remind you of what's going on here, verse 10, Paul looks at Timothy, and he says to Timothy, "Timothy, you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." And it's like Paul says, "Timothy, you have seen the spiritual character of Christ in me." Wouldn't it be great? Think about people in your life that look up to you. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a son or daughter, a grandchild, a niece, a nephew. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's someone at church. Maybe it's somebody you work with. But there's someone, I guarantee you, that you have influence over. They're looking to you. They look to you. And wouldn't it be awesome for you to be able to look them in the eye and say, you know what? You know what I'm all about. You know my life's about Christ. You know my purpose. You know my manner of life. You know my faith. You know my love. You've seen my love. You know my long suffering. You know my patience when I go through trials. And he says to Timothy, you've seen this, Timothy, but guess what? It didn't come to Paul easily. Spiritual growth doesn't come without pain. Paul did not become this spiritual giant because he was born that way. You know, he didn't become this spiritual giant because he got this zap of lightning. You remember, what was that cartoon I used to watch with the zap of lightning? Shazam, I think it was called. You know, and Shazam! And, you know, and all of a sudden he turns into something else. Paul didn't have any Shazam moment like that. Paul developed the character of Christ in him, but it was through the school of hard knocks. Look at verse 11. He said, "Persecutions and afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." I'm still here, Timothy. I'm still here. I had to go through all that junk, man, but I'm still here. I'm living, I'm breathing, I'm writing to you. And then he says in verse 12, he says, "Yeah, Timothy, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." We're all going to go through suffering if we love the Lord and if we're dedicated to Him. We're pilgrims on this earth. Hey, would y'all agree with me? Heaven's our home. Amen? We're passing through here, and so we're on Satan's turf. You're going to go through suffering. You're going to go through problems, he said. But then look at verse 14. He says, "But Timothy, I want you to continue in the things that you've learned. And be assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them, from Paul. And that from a, verse 15, from a child, he says, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." He's like, Timothy, hey man, I just want you to know, continue on, keep going. You're going to have problems like I do, but man, just keep on keeping on. Continue in the things that you've learned. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. He's like, Timothy, man, stick with the Word, man. Let your trials drive you to the Word. In your handout, it says that there's two truths that we learn about the Bible at the end of this chapter. Number one, the Bible is very powerful. The Bible is very powerful. If you agree with that, say amen, huh? Amen. It's powerful, man. It's God's Word. It's God's Word. It's got the breath of God on it. Look at verse 16. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Look at the screen up here, Ephesians 6:17. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. What's the sword of God's Spirit? What's our offensive weapon that we have when we're going through problems and trials and satanic attacks? He says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. There it is. Bingo. And then number two, the second thing is this. The Bible fully equips us to live a victorious life. He said in verse 17, the Bible perfects, it matures us, and it truly furnishes us to all good works. So when you're in a spiritual battle and the bullets are flying, by the way, when you go through suffering, and some of you are going through it right now, when you're going through suffering and heartache and pain, does Satan want to use that for bad or good in your life? He wants to use it for bad. Does God want to use it for good or bad? He wants to use it for good. I want you to look up here and I want you to imagine the bullets are flying, okay? It's in those moments that we either learn to walk by faith and rely on and trust and use God's Word, or we turn from it. I want you to imagine that this podium is the Lord, God, and this is His Word right here. And then you're here. And let's just say that you're here and this tragedy, this problem, this suffering comes into your life. It's at that moment that you have a choice. You have a choice. You're either going to allow that problem to turn you away from God, and you're going to walk further away from Him, and you're going to spiral downward, and Satan's going to use that in your life, and you're going to end up not looking anything like Jesus at all. Or you're going to allow that problem to cause you to turn this way and to draw near to God and to draw near to His Word. And as you do that, God's taking it and using it to make you look more and more like Jesus. He's using that stuff to help you to mature, to develop in your faith, to look to Him, to trust Him, to walk by faith, to trust His Word, to know His Word, to know Him. And it's a beautiful thing what God does in your life. He changes you. He wants to grow and change you. He loves you right where you are, but He loves you too much to leave you there. He loves you too much to leave you there. And so God wants you in these problems. And I mean, it just knocks you down to your knees. And you're just like, man, what am I going to do? I've just got this problem in my life, and it's bigger than me. And then you're either going to get this, woe is me, poor me. God is just, you know, forgotten me. And God is to blame for this. And God's the one that did this. And I'm just so mad at God. And so mad. And you're going to just turn away and become a bitter, angry person that doesn't look like Christ. Or you're going to move towards God, towards His Word. And you're going to let God, through the problem, God didn't send the problem, but you're going to let God use that problem to fully develop the character of Christ in you. And it's like we learned last week. Remember what we learned last week? Of course you remember everything I said last week. God's desire is for every one of us to grow and change. He wants you to have a Christ-like heart that results in Christ-like actions. And we've learned that God will even use suffering and problems to develop that spiritual character in his children. Just like he did with Paul, we just read it. Hey, just like he did with even Jesus. Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Wow. We learned that growth seldom comes without pain. And suffering has a way of driving us to his word. So you know what that means? In your handout, it says pain and affliction, hopefully, drives us to the word, which brings growth in our Christian character. And that's what God wants. Now, let me ask you this. Are you going through some trials right now? I'd say most of us in here are. Would you guys agree there's not many mornings you wake up with not a care in the world? It's just not many days like that where you just wake up and it's like life is perfect. There is nothing in my life I would change. It is perfect. I feel great. I have no aches. I have no pains. There isn't one problem. I have got nothing in, everything in my life is hunky-dory perfect. There's just not many mornings like that, is there? Most of us in here, we wake up with stuff. All right, so my question is, what's God teaching you during these problems and trials? What's he teaching you about himself? And what's he teaching you about you? Because he'll do both. He'll teach you about himself, and he'll teach you things that maybe you never knew about you. And in your handout, it says there, don't waste those times of pain and suffering. Allow God to grow and change you to be more like Jesus. Amen, church? Let's do it. Come on. I'm serious. I know. Look, you're like, you don't know what I've been through. No, I don't. And you don't know what I've been through. And all of us in here have been through stuff. And I have compassion for everyone in here with a problem and a trial because I got my own problems and trials. I really do. But let's allow these things to make us better, to take the next step of growth in our life. You can do it. You can do it. Let's go to him in prayer. And maybe you're here today, and if you die today, you're not sure you go to heaven. Maybe you're here today, and you're just not sure you're saved and that you know the Lord. If you would like to know Christ when the service is over, we would love for you to come and see us in the hospitality room. And we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know the Lord today. You can know that you're going to heaven. We've always got leadership hanging out in the hospitality room afterwards for that very purpose. We want to meet guests, but we also want to help people if you have a need today. I'm going to have the ushers come and prepare for our offering. And as they come, let's pray together right now. Would you pray with me?